as we head off to court to sort of mediation settlement, request that people send your good wishes to us, send loving kindness to the other side. These things are people oftentimes sort of talk, like, what can you know about the world living in a monastery? You live such a sheltered, coddled life. The reality is the monastery and the world are inextricably bound together, so that even if we're not having to engage with it, people are still bringing the world to us. get a glimpse of what the world is about, which is really important in the sense in terms of practice and using the Buddha's teachings. It makes it even more clear and compressing to be using the Buddhist teachings, because one can't just rely on, wouldn't it be nice if this all went away? You have to pay attention to detail, have mindfulness and clarity, and use some discernment. You have to have patience and loving kindness. But I think most of all, you have to be not making suffering. And that's an important piece of the living in the realm of having a human form, a human body that, we contact the world around us, and it has an effect. So in the teachings, sort of just pointing to the sense bases of when eye and form come together, sense consciousness arises. The meeting of the three is contact. With contact there is feeling. And what one feels, one perceives. What one perceives, one thinks about. What one thinks about, one proliferates, relying on perceptions and feelings from the past, and it impacts how we relate to the past, to the future, and to the present. And it sounds stark, in the sense or mechanical, but even in the language, it's very even in the sense of there's eye and form, and of course this applies to all the different senses. When one has an eye, there's external form. One's actually alive, and awake, so that one sense consciousness arises, eye consciousness arises, and the meeting of the three is contact. There's contact with the senses, and then with contact there is feeling. But then, at that point, it's just pretty straightforward. But then as it's written, what one feels, one perceives. So all of a sudden, we've got this one, this sort of innocent bystander one. all of a sudden, it's all about me. This is my feeling, my perception, and then we end up proliferating with it, and then we're beset by these perceptions. We thrash ourselves with them. So if it's not lifted up as an object of investigation and contemplation, then we end up following those perceptions and memories and associations, and we forget that the seed of that is quite innocuous. Just a little sight or a sound, it's just sort of flitted through. But then all of a sudden, we either take exception to it, or we're intimidated by it, or upset in some way, obsessed in some way, and it ends up driving our life. And so this practice of just, okay, paying attention to one in-breath, one out-breath, being alert to what is arising, what is the process, and what am I adding to it. And so it's the problem isn't the sense contact or the world or that we even perceive and feel and think. It's what we add to things that makes a problem. In the Thai language, the word that they use for proliferation kind of has the connotation of like spicing up a dish, where you've got this plain dish of something or other, your life, and then you spice it up with all sorts of things that sort of gets it more flavorful. but then we end up with a stomach ache. I'm paying attention to what we add to it, and just simplification. So much of our Dhamma practice is around simplification and contentment, and it's not. Obviously, there's a helpful need for simplifying external things in our life, contentment with the external conditions in our life. But more importantly, is the simplification and contentment with our moods and what is arising in the mind. And how we relate to that, and to be able to bring in a real tangible quality of contentment. And this is where just being content with the breath coming in and the breath going out. And, it's sort of, especially on a 10-day retreat, it can drive us nuts sometimes, just having to be, the mind's looking for something to do. Then bring simplification and contentment, coming back to the breath, coming back to the recognition of phenomena, and even if it or if something's painful, or there is some kind of we've got a cold or we've got a bit of a fever or something. These are uncomfortable conditions, but we can be content with it in the sense of, okay, this is what's here, I can be with this. And the same if we, have some blazing insight and we're so excited about the new insight into Dhamma, but it really stirs the mind up. Can we just be content with the breath? And say, okay, and it doesn't diminish anything. All it does is create a real even keel for us to wend our way through our life. So as you wend your way through meditation today, we'll wend our way through traffic and go up to the Ukiah courthouse. And the others will lead the day.